We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, hello and welcome in to another edition of the Basketball Show podcast. Coming to you live from Knox Bardeen's office. AT, I think we just have to roll with the punches because that's going to happen a lot.
Yeah, we're going to do this today. And you may have heard some of our B103 downstairs people interrupting our show.
So. If somebody comes over the intercom and asks for Big Tigger, then you can actually finally believe that me and AT work in the same building as Big Tigger.
Yeah, we know the man. So, hey, Tigger, give us some time on your show. That's all we're saying.
That's all we need. Let the Basketball Show podcast come in. Because I'll tell you this, AT, I bet you they'll be talking about what happened with Russell Westbrook in Utah on that show, on every show at our radio station today, and on every show across the country.
Man, oh man, I tell you what. I haven't adjusted yet to daylight saving time, so I had to drive from Memphis from a funeral this past weekend on Sunday, and so it didn't really hit me until yesterday. And yesterday afternoon, after we finished with our morning show, I slept most of the day, got up, worked on the rundown for today's show, and slept most of the night. So I didn't even know this had happened until I got up this morning. And when I listened to the video, I was like, ooh, okay. Ooh. Russell was a little on fire. There was a lot of wrong on both sides here. And this is what I said on our morning show today, that I don't condone players getting out of line, but I also don't condone, and I don't condone more so the fans crossing that line. There's still a lot of gray area here. We don't fully know what the individual said. All we know is what the player has said, the individual in the stands said. Obviously, some fans in the stands know what this individual said. I guess we may find out in later today or in the coming days. Because also we heard from some of Russell's teammates who were sitting at the end of the bench, Patrick Patterson being one of them, saying, echoing what Russell had to say. Now, Russell did not cross the line in terms of going into the stands.
Right.
And there is history with him and Utah Jazz fans because they got into it during the playoff series last year.
Yep.
And he knocked the phone out of the hands of one fan. But Russell brought in several elements into last night's discussion. Whether something was said racially, I don't know that right now. We're only left to believe what Russell is telling us. But Russell also yelled back at the fan and yelled and included the fan's wife in on this. So this thing has a lot of murky, dark clouds to it. The NBA is going to fully investigate, as well will the Utah Jazz, because this is a season ticket holder, I'm assuming. If it's not a season ticket holder, that's even worse, because now that ticket holder has put that season ticket holder's tickets in jeopardy, because what the NBA can do, what the team can do, is revoke those season tickets from the individual moving forward.
Now, I'm with you. There's definitely a lot of wrong on both sides, but there's just also a lot of interesting layers to this as well. And you're right. We don't know the details. It's probably not worth speculating on either side about the specifics of this situation. But I think it also speaks to a larger conversation that we've been having in sports for a long time, but it seems like especially this year, where it's become very contemptuous between fans and players at times. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, you've been to a thousand games in your life, NBA games.
Of all sports.
Of all sports.
Yeah.
It seems like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it feels like we're getting to, or coming to a flashpoint on this situation. And I don't know why. I don't know if are fans being more vulgar than ever before? Do they feel some sort of emboldened entitlement to be able to say whatever they want to players? Are players more sensitive than they've been? I don't know, but it seems like it's something that's really being talked about a lot lately.
It's all of that. And I think social media only heightens it, because Hugh Douglas from our morning show has been following the story throughout commercial breaks. And evidently this individual who Russell got into it with last night has already scrubbed his Twitter page. Now, if you didn't do anything wrong or you hadn't said anything in your history, then why are you scrubbing your pages?
That's a great question.
Something of what
Seems like the behavior of a guilty person.
Right. Yes. You're already telling on yourself to some degree. And supposedly this guy has gone at Russell on social media in the past. I don't know if Russell knew any of that. And supposedly has also said some things racially. I don't know if it was necessarily towards Russell. That's left to be seen. Because once it's out there, they can always find it. I don't care if you scrub your page.
Oh, yeah.
They can still find it.
That's the fun of the internet.
Yeah, that's the misnomer everyone thinks.
It exists.
Well, if I get rid of it. But here's what you needed to do. If you were going to play dirty last night, you scrub your page before you do something dirty. Then they can't find out who you are, maybe, or your background. So believe me, they will get to the bottom of this. But as you ask the question about have we reached a flashpoint, I certainly hope not.
I think
it's a tinderbox. I will say that because we have been brewing to – and being as close to the NBA as I have been for the last 23 years of working in it and obviously being away, the fans are the closest to any sport in America. The soccer field action, the fans are a little bit away from that, same as football, same as baseball. But with basketball, you're right there. And as we saw with the Malice at the Palace, it was very easy for the players to go into the stands. We had players going into the stands before, Vernon Maxwell doing this, I think, right, at a Portland game, if not Seattle.
I believe I don't remember.
It was definitely Vernon Maxwell. I can't remember the venue.
And it was in the Northwest. You're right.
And he was playing for the Rockets at the time.
I think it was Seattle.
And he ended up getting suspended for the remainder of that season,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But it's people have got to realize that buying that ticket does not give you the right to say any and everything you want to. You can criticize the fan. I mean, you can criticize the player. You can criticize the team for their performance or what's going on the court. But when you decide to go to the four-letter variety and you want to talk about someone's family or call them out of their name, or if you decide to want to even go racial, then you got to accept those consequences.
Right. There's obviously a line. And the line has become, I guess, blurry for some people in this situation. And I think you're right. I think social media has something to do with it, where a lot of times people are like, oh, I tweet whatever I want.
Right.
I bought this ticket.
Let's say whatever I want. Let's take it to the building.
Like, and Russell Westbrook made a great point last night, and I think a lot of athletes make this point in this conversation, is things that you'd never even dream of saying to me walking down the street.
Exactly.
As a person to a person or a man to a man or whatever, for whatever reason, when I put my jersey on and I'm on the court and you've paid for a ticket and you're sitting in a seat, you think that somehow, because I've always been on the side of heckling is fine as long as it's done with at least decent taste. Like, all heckling is going to come with some level of pettiness and some level of humor, hopefully.
Well, we had years of hecklers, Leon the Barber in
Detroit. Right.
And I forget the lawyer's name in D.C. who used to follow the Bullets, then the Wizard.
Right, but there are examples of people being able to do that in a
smart way.
It's smart. It doesn't necessarily have to be good-natured,
right,
but it has to be smart.
Right.
And it has to be, because sometimes athletes would hear that stuff. I remember Gary Payton would get heckled sometimes, and he'd hear it and then go right back at the fans, but it was all kind of like
good nature.
It was like competitive.
No.
It never got to the point where it was going to get personal or going to get physical.
Although
or anything
I'm sure
like that.
Gary gave him a little bit of Oakland.
Oh, of course. Well, it was just you very quickly learned. I remember my uncle was sitting front row, and he told us, he was like, man, you really hear a lot more stuff when you're down there. He was like, one fan tried to come at Gary about something or another. I think about the – because something about the way his head was shaped or whatever. And Gary snapped back at him like two or three lines, and the guy was like, oh, that was a mistake.
Well, and
Gary's the wrong guy to be trying to get into that sort of competition with.
And to the point of, are athletes a little more sensitive nowadays? Yes. Social media has brought a little bit of that out of them, because we've had a couple of incidents with Russell in the last couple of weeks. If you date back to the one with the little kid on the road, I forget where that was, but the kid had no business touching him, and Russell didn't expect that. Russell didn't know who it was who touched him, because when he looked back, he was startled, because I think he was surprised it was a little child.
Right.
Now, just because it was a little child doesn't give you the right to go onto the court and touch somebody. If the player wants to walk over and give you a pound like Chris Paul did last night before he inbounded the pass at a game, I think they I believe they were on the road because they were wearing their road uniforms. But he gave a little girl on the baseline a pound before he inbounded the ball. That's different. But if you're walking out onto where the guy is about to play and about to put the ball in play and you decide to touch him, he's going to look at you in a certain way.
Right.
Russell decided to speak to the fans, to that kid's father, and said something to him. It didn't seem like it got out of hand beyond that, but because of today's media world, reporters had to ask him after the game what went down, and so he explained the situation. This was entirely different. But I hope we get to the point where we can avoid a potential situation that blows up on everyone, whether it's the players, the organization, and its fans, because we don't need another Malice at the Palace in any certain terms. And I think money also plays a part in this too, because the escalating cost of tickets, the more money that these players are making, everybody, you mentioned the word entitled. Everybody feels that they're entitled to think they can say whatever they want to say to some of these guys because they're jealous of what they're doing or what they're making and what have you.
That's always, sorry to interrupt, it's always an interesting justification of, wow, he makes $15 million
a year.
He should
be able to take it.
Well, I mean, okay, but in that moment where you're calling his mom this
right.
or saying this about something personal or whatever, something you'd never say in normal life, he's not thinking about, you know, I'm, all right, that was an unnecessary thing to say, but I've got $15 million in my bank account, so I am immune to emotion. That's
right.
not reality.
Or,
no one lives like that.
No.
He doesn't give you – and also, you're not paying him, so you don't have carte blanche to say whatever you want to him.
Well, and just because you think you can get the lawyers involved doesn't mean you're going to get a payday.
Right.
Okay, because you could end up having to pay the cost of bringing this matter to court if the judge rules against you for your own ridiculous behavior. But we're doing an abbreviated show today, so I don't want to let this incident pass by either, since we're talking about fans and teams and what have you. The incident in New York City the other night disturbed me more than anything else because
speaking of entitlement,
if you don't know what we're talking about, there's video out there on Twitter. Just look up James Dolan in the New York Knicks and his altercation, not necessarily physical, with a fan when the fan yelled out to him, sell the team. That's all he said. Sell the team. Well,
which is actually like pretty funny and good-natured
right,
heckling.
Right. And I believe the Knicks lost that particular game.
They've of course
lost
they
plenty
did.
This
yeah,
year.
Of course
and
they
so
did.
James Dolan, while rich, while he owns the Knicks, while he owns the Rangers, both teams have been struggling for the past year or two or more. The fan, this was as light as they come. This was the same owner who had Charles Oakley, if you remember, a year ago,
oh, yeah.
escorted by security, a former Knick, who should be in the Knicks Hall of Fame, escorted out of the building and charges filed against him, which were later dropped. So his reputation is in question. But back to this fan.
It's not in question.
No.
James Dolan's reputation is not in question. His reputation is correct. Can I say this? I'll
ahead.
Say it on the podcast. He's a D-bag.
Mm.
And he behaves like that all the time.
He is certainly out of line. He is probably, in terms of my worst owners list of teams around sports, he's number one on that list.
Woo!
Daniel Snyder
Daniel
of the Redskins comes
there,
in number two.
Yeah.
And I forget who I said my number three was.
Liberty
from
Media?
Baseball. Faceless owners, the Liberty Media. I forget who I said my number three, because I think I had someone in baseball. We won't get bogged on, right. down on that.
Jeter, maybe.
But in terms of Dolan having the fan, threatening the fan that he will lose his tickets, once again, we don't know if the tickets were for that fan, if he bought it for that game, if it was season tickets. But to imply that because of what the fan said, you'll be watching our games on TV from now on. Really? Then what is happening every night when you get your butts kicked? Are you going to exclude all of those fans from now on? You're going to take away all of those season tickets? Because I'm sure not everyone who attends a game at the world's most famous arena is pleased with what they're seeing of the product on that
floor.
Are you going
to take Spike Lee's seats?
Right.
He's been pretty openly right. critical about you and the team for
even
years.
He said it at the Academy Awards.
Said it at the Academy Awards. Are you going to take Spike Lee's season tickets? I bet you're not. And you shouldn't.
He certainly overreacted. I hope the commissioner talks to him and tells him, drop this matter. Because what was the funniest thing about that entire exchange is I don't know if you picked up on this. The security guy goes, hold him for Kevin. Hold him for Kevin in terms of the guy who said something to James Dolan.
Yeah.
So the running line is, who is he going to hold him for? Kevin Durant? Throughout all of this foolishness, you got to find some fun in it.
Yes. And the other thing, one more thing, and then we'll move on to the second quarter and get to some actual on-court basketball conversations. Mm-hmm. People will then say, because I think people are very smart, but when they don't want to hear a conversation. I don't care about a conversation. They'll act like they're not.
Right.
So people will say, so what's the difference? So you're saying this guy should be able to say that to James Dolan, but the guy in Utah can't say what he wants to say to Russell Westbrook? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And if you can't see the difference, which, yes, you can.
And you have common sense.
If you can't see the difference, then I can't help you.
Right.
Because there's a very clear difference. That's where the line is. The line is somewhere between those two things. Okay? All right. Let's get to the second quarter here. And the Atlanta Hawks.
Yes, sir.
The fun, exciting, young, potentially ahead of schedule Atlanta Hawks.
They may be. I haven't had a chance to get down to a game because of these early morning
hours.
Yeah,
we've been
hours,
missing you,
yeah,
AT.
And I had to go out of town last weekend and couldn't make it to either the who do they put? Brooklyn on Saturday.
Yeah,
and New
you
Orleans
didn't miss
on,
a ton in the Brooklyn game, but the New Orleans game was fun.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to see that game because it could be Anthony Davis's last year in that New Orleans uniform. But
it is.
Given the fact that we had so much else going on in town and I had just arrived back from Memphis, I didn't want to even dabble with traffic. But back to the Hawks, I like what they're doing right now. I like the way we have talked about Trae Young ad nauseum throughout the year, his ups and downs, his highs and lows. But right now he's playing with a great deal of confidence. He's much more comfortable than he had ever been at any particular point in time in this season. And I think, as we said maybe within one of our early podcasts, I thought he had hit the rookie wall twice within the first month and a half of the season. And in the month of December, he was struggling a little bit, and then he kind of broke out of that. And from January on, he's had some really nice games. And up late, and since the All-Star break, he's really been on fire. He's been the player of the month through rookie player of the month.
Should have been player of the week in the Eastern Conference
should have been
a couple
player
weeks
of the week
ago,
over
too.
Ben Simmons. Yeah. His numbers were certainly much better. And the Sixers had only won one more game than the Hawks did over that period of time. And so that's why, for whatever reason, Ben Simmons has the name. I get
we
it.
We know why.
But still, Trae Young should have walked away with that award. The combo of he and John Collins are playing very well right now. They complement each other, excelling tremendously on the court right now. Excuse me for stumbling there. But I like what they're doing. And they certainly are the cornerstone of this team's future. And it's going to be interesting to see how Travis Schlenk plays the rest of not just this season, but how their forms formulate over the summer as we get closer to this draft.
Yeah, because that's the conversation now, or at least the rumor that's circulating, is that because of, you know, the obvious play, the improvement in play during the year of Trae Young and Kevin Huerter. You got to include him there.
No doubt.
Obviously, John Collins has taken that giant step from year one to year two. Hopefully, he can stay healthy in year three. And look, if he makes the same type of step from year two to year three as he did from year one to year two, John Collins is going to be an all-star next year.
Especially in the East.
Right, especially in the East. I think you also have to think about including DeAndre Bembry in that conversation as well. I mean, not maybe at like a tier one conversation with those other guys, but Bembry has really had a nice year quietly for a guy who we really didn't know anything about in his first two seasons. For me, he's surpassed Torian Prince in terms of intrigue. And maybe that's just me, but you got the draft coming up, and then maybe because of all of that, and this is the rumor that we're talking about, is that maybe they'll be a little bit more active in free agency, trying to get a meeting with Kevin Durant, maybe kicking the tires. I'm not kicking the tires. Trying to make a pitch to guys like Boogie Cousins and other free agents that'll be out there, and I am 100% supportive of that.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, we've talked at before on many occasions about the last time the Hawks acquired a talented free agent. And while Paul Millsap came here from Denver, he became an all-star because of coming here. He didn't bring that to the table. We didn't know he would turn into the type of player he became. But Dikembe Mutombo in 1996 was the last quality free agent this franchise was able to acquire. That's a long period of time. And it's overdue
Why
for the Hawks.
Why couldn't the Hawks have acquired him earlier than that? Like maybe before the 93-94 season. So he didn't have to play for the Nuggets. He didn't have to come back on the
Sonics.
Well,
we would never have the –
And we don't. Need that.
Well,
we don't need that.
Is that because it happened against your Seattle Supersonics?
Yeah.
AT. It always gets back.
One of the worst moments of all time. Anyway, sorry. You're right. It's been a really long time.
Yeah.
And you've been here for a long time. Yep. Obviously, you worked for the Hawks for years and years. You've seen free agents not choose this city, and you know a lot of guys in the NBA. What is true and what isn't true about why guys won't come play in Atlanta? Because there's that stupid myth about, everybody's got their side piece here.
Yeah.
And that just can't be true.
You would like to think it's not true.
I would like to think it's not true.
A myth goes on for so long, it becomes legend. And but
it just seems ridiculous.
And because some of these guys are so young, you would think it wouldn't play a part.
Well, but also, like, there's beautiful women in New York and Los Angeles. They're and, like, everywhere. Like, why that can't be.
Ask Tristan Thompson.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
But no, you're absolutely right. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know if it's because of the fragile stability of the hierarchy with the ownership.
I think
group.
That's what it is more than
that
anything.
That certainly probably played a part years ago. We were able to bring some, not a lot, but we were able to bring some free agents in to talk to them or go to them, but they never could close the deal. And that's ultimately going to be the finishing move for Travis Schlenk and his group. Can they finish? Can Tony Ruessler and the group make things happen? And it's time. It's time for them to bring in a free agent of substance to be able to add to this team, much like Philadelphia was able to do, although they didn't get in free agent-wise. They were able to make a trade that impacted their team for the rest of the year.
Couple trades.
With Jimmy Butler and then
Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris. Yeah. And so both of those guys, if I'm not mistaken, are free agents at the end of the year. And so I would like to think that I would love to see Tobias Harris with this team.
That's funny. We were talking about that last night. I would too. I think he fits perfectly mm-hmm. with what the Hawks are doing. That is the next step for these guys.
Yes.
And trying to figure out how to make your organization a destination
because
spot.
Because they've shown they can draft.
Oh, yeah.
And most of their draft picks have panned out, and they're still on the roster. As a matter of fact, Travis Schlenk was on with us for his weekly show this morning and said they may, going into next season, they may only have two spots available.
Right, that's the thing at this point is there's so many young players on rookie contracts, you can't even really bring anybody on.
But to that
point. They are going to have to pay people, though, because they're going to be way under the salary cap floor.
I know we're quick with this segment. Let me ask you this question, though, because it has come up within the last week as well. Would you bring Vince Carter back?
Yes, 100%. I would bring Vince Carter back on a one-year contract.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not doing anything probably more than that. I don't think Vince would probably want to do anything more than that. But 100%, I bring Vince Carter back for basketball reasons and for non-basketball reasons.
He's played much better than I ever thought he would. Hell, he played better than he did in Sacramento.
He's the best shooter on the team.
Right.
He's shooting 41%. Now, he went 0 for 6 the other night, so maybe he's not shooting 41% anymore. But he's shooting 40% from three. This would be the third time in his entire career, and he's played forever, that he shot above 40% in a season. Like, he's legitimately the best him and Kevin Huerter, the best three-point shooters on the team.
Look at my man, Bunk. He's bringing those stats. Usually I bring the stats, but see, I haven't been able to follow this team as much of late. So
yeah, when you're doing the pregame and postgame every night, some of the stuff sticks
in
your mind.
Tell them that. Well, give me some credit here.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I would bring Vince Carter back, and in addition to his play on the court, the leadership factor that he brings to the locker room.
Exactly.
You cannot devalue that. And I think he's meant a lot. Every time you seem to hear something from some of these players, they always manage to include Vince Carter in their sentiments. And so I like the sound of that. And we tried to do that Mike Woodson's first year with Kevin Willis. And it wasn't Kevin's fault it didn't work. We just had some other guys on that team who were veterans who should have been better individuals in the locker room, didn't help
like who?
The young guys we had. He does SEC TV, and he used to play for the Celtics. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. May have gone to Kentucky. Might have had a little shoulder dance he used to like to do.
Yeah, we couldn't get rid of him fast enough. On to the third quarter.
Okay. On to the third quarter, and we're going to have to make this one very quick.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Lakers? Obviously, things have gone spiraling downhill very, very quickly. Just before you tell me what you think is gone wrong with them, do you enjoy it at all? I know you're a Magic Johnson fan. We all were fans of various guys that have come through that franchise. Mm-hmm. They've had Jerry West, your favorite player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a little part of this that's kind of enjoyable to see?
Yeah, because
I like it.
The streak will end. As much as we would love to see him in the LeBron James, that is, much as we would love to see him in the playoffs this year, that hype machine will end in the coming weeks. They are not going to make the playoffs. They're done. And while it's a shame on the standpoint of those fans have missed the playoffs, I think 6 years running right now, and they certainly would love.
Is that right? Wow.
I think it's six. I could be wrong with that number.
Wow.
I didn't think Kobe was gone that long.
I know.
But maybe they missed it while he was there, too.
They did. The last couple years that he was there, they did miss because he was hurt a lot and, I mean, wasn't as good.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if in terms of chasing the GOAT, that certainly stops a little bit of that conversation, but you can't still knock his achievements. He passed Michael Jordan a week ago on the all-time scoring list, and I thought a lot more fanfare was made for that than a lot of other guys passing guys on the list. But I get it.
Yeah,
it's today's world.
And it's LeBron and Jordan.
You've got the LeBron stands out there who certainly love seeing that. But it's going to be interesting to see as he gets closer to Kobe how many of those Laker fans are going to how they will react.
He's going to pass Kareem eventually.
You think so?
I think he actually will.
I wonder if his same zest is there. There are times when he plays and he takes it seems like he visibly takes plays off. Or the other day we had to see Kyle Kuzma push him out defensively on a play. And I don't know if I had ever seen that from one of his teammates. But it's a shame that we won't see him in the playoffs, and it's a shame the Laker tradition will not have made it there. They're going to have to make some hard decisions at the end of the season because the Anthony Davis factor is going to figure in as to whether or not they make the trade for him. What will you do with some of those young pieces that they do have? Should they really discard some of those guys and trade them on to New Orleans to make this deal happen, if they're able to make this deal happen? And Jeff Van Gundy said something really strange over the weekend about if the Lakers perhaps should trade LeBron. I don't know if I agree with that, because then they really don't have anything. And I don't know how much you will get back in return for him, because if a team trades for LeBron, you're almost going to have to deplete your team in order to get him. And so outside of Boston having a slew of picks, that's the only team I know that may be able to get away with maybe acquiring him.
The haul, a king's ransom, they would call it. But then also, what does he actually bring to your team?
Yeah.
LeBron's 35 years old. There's 3 years left on his contract. How much is he actually going to be able to do?
And with that, we get to the fourth quarter here on the Basketball Show podcast. Before we get out of here, what about these Warriors, man? It certainly hasn't been the same sort of waltz to the playoffs and waltz to a championship like the last couple of years have. Is it really an issue? Are they really going through something? Or do you think once the playoffs come around, they'll get back to being the Warriors and everything will be fine?
You know, I don't really know. And every time you think you have the Warriors figured out, they hit a bump in the road. And that's been their MO this year. Over their last 10 games, they're 4-6. They've lost to some teams they had no business
losing to. They lost to the Suns.
Phoenix Suns the other night. They had a 16-point lead early in that game, and yet, even with outside of Kevin Durant suffering an ankle injury, I think in the fourth quarter, and he left, didn't play any more of that game, with all of that talent that they had, they still allowed Phoenix the opportunity to win. Now, give Phoenix some credit because they took advantage. They played hard, and Devin Booker went off down the stretch of that game. And I tell you what, one Phoenix note that I've been pleased with is the addition of Kelly Oubre. He has really, really played well for them and kind of created his own niche that he wasn't able to do really with the Wizards. And that was a former Hawks draft pick, if you remember.
Oh, that's right. They traded him on draft day
to the Wizards.
That's right.
He's now, I don't think it's his contract year, because a lot of times with some of these guys, they end up playing well down the stretch and it's their contract year and they decide to turn
it on
to get some money. Whether that's the case or not, Oubre is playing well. Phoenix was able to steal a win from the Warriors. After that game, there were a couple of little incidents that caused you to raise the side eye. Klay Thompson, who has played well the last week or so, I wouldn't say he blamed the fans, but he touched on the energy from the fans that night and how he wished the fans would have emoted some more energy to help them get over the hump against a team like the Suns. Why
on,
do
Clay.
You need that from
Come on,
the fans?
Clay.
Now, I love Clay. But
me too.
I was like, okay, that was weird.
Yeah.
And then TV cameras caught Steve Kerr allegedly saying he was tired of Draymond's blank. And
I mean, it definitely looks like that's
what he said.
Right? Like, neither one of us are professional lip readers.
But I love Steve Kerr to death. That's what he said.
It seemed pretty clear that's what he said about Draymond.
And I get it.
Yeah.
Draymond
I would be too
wear,
if I was him.
Draymond can wear on someone. We all know that. And they've had, since the beginning of the season, they've had their little rocky road with Kevin Durant and Draymond. And so now I guess Kerr has about had it, at least on the surface. And whether or not somebody's going to have to leave that team.
Oh, yes.
They've got too many stars, and Boogie Cousins is there with them now playing increased minutes. You see me looking at my phone, and it's only because I'm trying to look up the question I'd posed on our website today pertaining to the Warriors to get the fans to weigh in. On the court, the Warriors got beat by the NBA's worst team on Sunday, and it caused us to wonder. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. So is there any reason to worry?
The four options that we listed was, hey, it was Phoenix. Who cares? Golden State is bored. Let's wait for the playoffs. I'm a little concerned. Or blame Boogie and Draymond. Now, the leader in the clubhouse was Golden State is bored. Let's wait for the playoffs. Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking is the case, because it's been a long run for them. Four straight years of going to the finals. They fell short the 1 year. And that's a lot of extra games. And LeBron James can certainly attest to that more than anybody else in this league. You're playing additional seasons, not just a playoff series. And those things tend to add up. And this team has been pretty, the core has been pretty consistent and pretty together with each other. And aside from the bench guys changing here and there, that core has been together for a long period of time. Yeah, it can get on your nerves. It's like a nagging household. Over time, you just can't go anywhere unless you decide to end it completely. These guys are under contract and they're making a lot of money.
They might end it, some of it completely this offseason, though.
Contracts are up.
What do you think is most likely? Because obviously Kevin Durant's going to be a free agent. Boogie's mm-hmm. a free agent. Mm-hmm. Klay Thompson's a free agent. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of movement that could happen. I would never pretend to know what Kevin Durant wants. Kevin Durant is about as...
all over the place.
Complicated as they come right now in professional sports. I also would love, and I would be interested to know what you think of this, I would love for the Hawks to make a serious run at Boogie. I think Boogie on this Hawks roster would be, I think he's exactly what they need.
Well, I think they have the coach with the right temperament to deal with him, first of all, because Boogie can be a handful.
In that case, I'm definitely bringing back Vince Carter. Maybe forever.
Oh, no, that does make sense.
Yeah.
Because you need a buffer when things get sideways and when he decides to go off, and he inevitably will and does. But I like that idea because I don't think this team will reach the heights it needs to reach under the current center that they have, Dwayne Dedmon.
Yeah,
I think he's a backup.
He's good.
And then he's been serviceable for them.
But if you could replace him with Boogie.
Yes, you got a guy who can, and Boogie's only going to, you expect him only to get better because, A, he's a proven all-star, but coming off that Achilles injury, it takes a full year for you to fully recover. I should know, I tore mine. I'm not an NBA player, but I tore mine, and I know how long it took me to just be able to feel comfortable to run again. But to be able to run as consistently and constantly as they do in that sport, he will not feel better until next season. Now, he's playing increased minutes for them. I don't think he's going to be back for them. I know it wouldn't surprise me if the Lakers make a run at him too. I wouldn't mind seeing the Hawks make that move. Now, as far as Durant is concerned, I'm hearing from way more people than I trust who still cover the league that he's gone. And
but where though?
That's the million-dollar question. I've even had a buddy of mine tell me Houston. I don't believe that in any way. I don't even know how they would have the money to be able to make that work. Maybe they could, unless they choose to go into the luxury tax. They can always do that.
Yeah,
you can always make it happen.
Right.
Whether they're willing to do so, I have no idea. And I think we're going to learn a lot more with Houston going into these playoffs because, once again, they're playing very well. James Harden is in the running again for MVP. But the main question with the Rockets is, can Chris Paul stay healthy? But
answer is no.
Yeah, and I wonder.
Unfortunately, he can't.
No, I agree there. And it wouldn't surprise me now. I would have said, no, he's not going to leave at the beginning of the season, and that he would want to continue to extend that run with the Warriors and keep his legacy going with that. But now I think he may leave.
Yeah, I really don't know. The things that I think I know about Kevin Durant are that he's very sensitive about the way that he's perceived.
Very much so.
And I think that he doesn't like he thought, we read this from a lot of different places, that he thought going to Golden State and winning a championship was going to end all of the criticism of him. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it just ramped it up. It made it worse, probably.
Well, some of that is because of his own doing.
Sure, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But I think that he's very aware that there's now the thought process that he's a ring chaser
mm-hmm.
and that what he did in Golden State is invalid because he joined up with a team that was already a super team. So if that's true, you'd have to think that that would mean that he'd want to go someplace where he could prove it himself. The problem is he also doesn't seem to be interested in the day-to-day criticism that comes along with major media markets. So to me, that kind of takes New York out of the mix. Like, if Kevin Durant doesn't like being asked non-basketball questions in Oakland,
right.
imagine what it would be like in Madison Square Garden in that media market. No, like, it would be crazy.
You're absolutely right. I mean, Oakland has become a big media market, and they certainly draw additional outside of attention from basketball media because of who they are. But you're right. In New York, it's every day and it's consistent, and they're always there and they're always aggravating your nerves. And if he is as sensitive as he's been, certainly over the last couple of months, it only makes you wonder how he could deal with the intense scrutiny he would face in New York. If Kyrie's there, and that's the other variable. If Kyrie happens to go with him, these two guys right now, although Kyrie apologized yesterday for his behavior of late, I don't know. It had me wondering what was going on with him. If there was something off the court that was troubling him that we didn't know about, because while he's battled with his teammates through the media this year, to lash out the way he had over the past couple of weeks was unnerving, because it showed a side of him that we had never seen before. And if he gave you instances that he was troubled, and you had Adam Silver saying that NBA players were
depressed because of social media. Like,
really? No, okay. I mean, I know these guys can go through these problems just like every one of us. And I'm not saying that money always solves your problems. It certainly helps. But if you have those problems, you got the means in which to be able to help yourself. And so I'm not going to sit here and say every NBA player or half of the NBA or athletes in general are all going through mental issues, because some of this stuff is brought on by yourself. Stay off of social media.
That's the thing. And I know that's always the answer to, well, if you don't like the criticism that's mm-hmm. going on there, log off. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have. It's hard, though, because I think we forget sometimes these guys, so many of them are just so young.
Yes,
like, they don't exist without that stuff.
Right.
Like, Kyrie Irving has always had Facebook and Twitter and social media in his life, and as do the rest of the guys in the NBA right now, where it's like getting rid of that would be like getting rid of, I don't know, some normal life utility that you get used to growing up that you've always had. So I do think that guys struggle with dealing with that right now. Kevin Durant obviously has. Mm-hmm, Kyrie mm-hmm. obviously has. Putting those guys together in New York just seems like a bad idea.
It's the one sport which has taken full advantage of social media more than the NFL and Major League Baseball or hockey. And from a team standpoint, the NBA is at the forefront in terms of communicating with his fans, as well as his players communicating with his fans. And so I'm not going to say you can't have it both ways, but you need to learn how to be able to shut it down. And
agreed.
It's that simple. And it goes to some of us who are on it. I'm on it way too much myself. A lot of it's because of work. A lot of it's because I don't have problem expressing my opinions, and I don't mind getting the feedback. But if somebody says something out of line to me, they get blocked with the quickness. And I may say something back to them, but I said, on the way out, enjoy this block. So,
how many people have you, you're like Mutombo now on Twitter?
I don't have to give them the finger, but either of the fingers, but
many people are you blocking these days?
I'd say I get about 5 a month.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's because somebody decides they want to step out, like maybe the fan did with Russell Westbrook, and
sure.
say something out of line, and we can always keep it civil. I have no problems with talking politics or entertainment or sports, and we can keep it civil, but as soon as you go out and step across that line, I'm going to fire back at you, and I'm going to tell you goodbye on the way out. So,
AT, the rim protector.
You know what? As we were talking about LeBron James, the one thing I wanted to ask from our third quarter segment, and this has come to my mind over the past month or so, has LeBron James become too enamored with being in Los Angeles and been consumed with everything that comes with being in Hollywood? And has that taken away from his game as well?
I don't know. I guess I don't have all the details on what exactly he's involved in. I know that they're doing the barbershop show on HBO.
They're doing the barbershop show. He's producing a $1 million run for CBS
right.
that they're advertising right now. They have a Muhammad Ali HBO
he's
special.
He's working on
that's
some documentary stuff.
And
he was working with 2 Chainz on that album.
Right.
So you're right. He's got a lot going on. I also think he's, you know, 34 years old,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, eventually there was going to be a time when LeBron James didn't look like 25-year-old LeBron James anymore. Now, he stretched it out
right.
way longer than most guys ever do, and he still looks pretty good when he's out
no
there.
Doubt. No doubt.
But yeah, I mean, that could very well be part of it. I mean, it looks like a slightly less engaged LeBron James. Oh, now, maybe he would be more engaged if his team was a little bit better and they were making a playoff push. I think he understands right now that, you know, I'm not gonna break my back to get the ninth best record in the Western Conference. If we're out of it, we're out of it. I'm going to go produce some movies. That's going to rub some people the wrong way.
Yeah, because he's got to accept some responsibility on that too. I mean, it's one thing to barely criticize your teammates, and while he hasn't named anyone in particular, he's taken some shots.
Oh, plenty.
But I wonder about his focus, because you only have a little bit of time in the NBA to do a lot of those things. And I understand he's got Maverick and involved on the entertainment side. His agent handles all of his contractual business, and maybe he is involved in some of his other dealings. But it makes you wonder when you start to hit that rocky patch, and he's going through it right now. It makes you wonder, are you all in too?
Right.
And because when you question some of those other guys, it certainly inevitably turns the mirror on yourself, and especially when you have a franchise such as the Lakers that has nothing but banners hanging in within their buildings. They want, those fans expect that. And you are supposedly the self-proclaimed best player in the game. And they're going to want to see that out of you too, because if things don't go well for him in the next 2 or 3 years with that franchise, I wonder how those fans could sour on him.
Yeah, absolutely. I like LeBron. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like the big picture of LeBron, the career of LeBron, the legacy, I guess, of LeBron. Everything that he's done, the social activism stuff, obviously the games that he's played, the sports that he's given us, the great sports moments that he's given us. But a lot of little picture stuff bothers me. Like, big picture, I like LeBron.
Yeah.
At a macro level. On a micro level, there's a lot of individual instances where I'm like, all right. Like when you try to trade your whole team and then tell your team, well, don't worry about it. Stay off social media. You know, this is the way the NBA goes.
Or if you're not made for this, something to that effect.
Right. It's like, all right, man. Like,
okay, grandpa.
You don't have to talk about it like that. You know what I mean? Like, you just did this to these guys. Right. Maybe just move on from it. Yeah. But no, I enjoy LeBron. LeBron's awesome.
Now, do you rest him for the rest of the year?
Probably not for the rest of the year. Yeah. But
I'm against that notion.
Me too.
He needs to. First of all, he gets a lot of rest. He got 18 games off when he was hurt.
Yeah.
But I disagree vehemently with I think Mark Jackson was the one who brought this up on national TV. The Lakers need to rest him for the rest of the year. And that leads you to believe that they feel the Lakers should be tanking a little bit
to
get a better draft pick. They're done as it is.
They got a 2.5% chance at the number one pick, by the way. If the Lakers end up with the number one pick, should just cancel the NBA, because that would be...
Okay, let's say this at this point. Of the teams currently in the lottery chase, who do you feel will get the number one pick?
The Knicks.
Mm.
The Knicks. Now, they have the worst record, which means they have one of the three best chances. Phoenix and Cleveland, think, at this point, But I'm not... I believe that the NBA will do whatever it takes to get New York the number one pick. Mm. I'm a firm tinfoil hat wearer when it comes to the Patrick Ewing draft and what's been done for that franchise. I am.
Bring back Dave DeBuscher.
Yeah, I do. I think that happened.
I don't want to see Cleveland get it again.
I don't want to see Cleveland get it.
They had their opportunity.
I want Atlanta to get it. Atlanta's never gotten the number one
before. That's right.
Atlanta is a Zion Williamson away from at least being really interesting. Now, is Zion going to turn into a 10-time All-Star? I don't know. He could. He looks like a generational talent, as far as I can tell.
And we'll wrap this up by this question. With college basketball tournaments starting this week, should Zion shut it down?
Zion should do whatever he wants. Like, I personally, selfishly, hope he doesn't shut it down, because I love watching him play.
Mm-hmm.
Zion Williamson makes the NCAA tournament, I don't even know. Like, I don't know what percent more interesting, but a sizable percent more interesting. Because with Zion, Duke's the best team. And, I mean, you know, I don't root for Duke, but I root for greatness and I root for wanting to see the best product. And, you know, I'm a fan, you know, like, I'm not Zion's financial advisor.
Right.
I want what's best for Zion as an individual as well. But there is this, people act like there's only two things that can happen. Zion either shuts it down and makes $100 million, or he plays and he gets hurt.
Yeah.
He could also play and not get hurt.
Injury, yes.
And that's what I want. Like, that's the best case scenario for everybody. We talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. It sucks that it's a reasonable and almost a good strategy for guys to not play sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait, what a minute. Like, of course Zion should play. He's a basketball player. Well, no, it's in his best interest to not play. Well, all right. Like, Anthony Davis, he should not play. It's in his best interest not. But wait, but he's a basketball. Like, it should be in the best interest of athletes to play the sport that they're great at.
Uh-huh.
Now, to me, that's a systematic problem. The NCAA, in Zion's case, I don't even know what in Anthony Davis's case, but it should always be the best thing for the athlete to play the game that they're great at.
And it's always,
unfortunately, it isn't.
And it should always be the athlete's choice.
It should.
Whatever we feel, and we can have 100 different opinions, it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme. But Zion should do what's best for Zion. And that sometimes should oversee what is best for his family, too, because ultimately he's got to live with the decision.
Sure.
And so
sure.
There's parts of me that wishes he would shut it down only because of selfishly from an NBA standpoint. While I love college basketball to death, Duke could still survive without him. And I don't, and I guess thinking more of the fact that he could run the risk of injury. And plus, because despite what Duke, I don't trust any team, coach on any level anymore when it comes to injuries. We were told this was a sprain. He's already been out 2 weeks. Now, maybe it is a sprain. But the longer he continues to sit out, it makes me wonder if it was indeed a sprain or if it was something else. We're going to find out with the start of the ACC tournament this week. But so from that standpoint, yeah, I would love for him to shut it down. But I certainly understand the aspect of wanting to see the best play in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
As well as the ACC tournament this week and wanting to see how some of these teams fare. I'm not a Duke fan, can't stand them, but I still would love to see him play with his team and see how they
represent.
Yeah,
that's my thing. Like, I don't want him to shut it down. Mm-hmm. I understand why he would. And if he does, I'm not going to be mad at him. That's a smart business decision. But I want him to play. I want to see him play. I like watching him play. He's really good. The NCAA tournament is more interesting if he does play. It'll still be fun. It's the NCAA tournament.
Right.
I mean, come on. It's one of the best sporting events that we have.
Oh, no doubt. And we'll talk more about the NCAA tournament as we go along in the coming weeks. But if you had to pick a team to win right now, who would that be?
I will go with Kentucky.
Mm.
I think Kentucky makes a surprise run. I like that they've flown under the radar a little bit. They got blown out by Duke early in the season, and everyone's sort of given up on them since then. This is one of those fun Calipari teams that has legitimately gotten better as the season. He doesn't get a lot of credit as a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a lot of credit as a good recruiter and then maybe not credit for being a little bit slimy. But I think he's actually a really good player developer mm-hmm. when he has time with guys. So I'd go with Kentucky at this point.
I don't know if I could trust them. And because I've watched them a lot in the past couple of weeks, and they handed it to Tennessee a few weeks ago, and then LSU and Tennessee gave it right back to them. And so this SEC tournament is going to be much, much better
than
it has
been.
Who
are you picking? Bengals?
I'm not picking the Bayou Bengals
okay.
because I would love to see a miraculous run like Michigan had a few years ago. No, I worked there for 3 years.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
Handled basketball PR for them my last year there. And we ended up, but the first year I was there, we went to the Final Four. But I was writing for the in-house publication
okay.
at the time. So that was a blast. And we took an undersized LSU team. Ricky Blanton was the center. And we beat, in Atlanta, Georgia Tech and Kentucky in this regional to go to the Final Four.
I see. I opened up a wormhole. Now we're going to talk about that Final Four.
No, we'll save it later. Because,
that's like asking me about the Sonics.
Because Duke knocked us out of the Final Four, and they eventually lost to Never Nervous Purvis and the Louisville Cardinal. But it'll be interesting. But my team, I would say right now I've got three teams. I would love to see another rematch between, as much as I can't stand Duke, I would love to see Duke and Gonzaga play each other again.
Yeah.
We saw that match early in the year. Gonzaga got the best of them. I would love to see how these two teams progress
Gonzaga
at that point.
Gonzaga loses in the first round.
Really? Well, that's the Washington coming
yep.
out of you there. But it wouldn't surprise me if North Carolina gets there.
Oh, yeah. They're a good
I'm
team.
Liking what I see of this team, and they're
yeah.
playing their best at the right time. They can their point guard, Cody with the hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. White?
Cody White.
Yeah.
Can drive me crazy sometimes with his play, but the game Saturday night against Duke, I thought he was outstanding. Carolina took a double-digit lead, and then they led Duke back into the game, and then he went bonkers from three-point range, and they were able to pull away. But it's going to, it wouldn't surprise me if Duke wins this ACC tournament. Wouldn't surprise me if Carolina wins this ACC tournament. And it wouldn't surprise me if Virginia wins it. A lot of people are picking Virginia, however, to win it all. We shall see.
Yeah, we'll see. They got to win a first round matchup against the 16 seed first.
Yeah, that 17 seed is going to scare them this year.
Yeah, it is. They're going to be very nervous going into that first round. All right, that'll wrap it up for the Basketball Show podcast this week.
With a little college hoops as well.
Yeah, might as well. We'll be back at it soon, though. Maybe next week, maybe the week
we'll give it a shot
after. But, you know, we've got we'll get it ramped up definitely big time for the NBA playoffs as well. But as always, you can follow us on social media. I'm at TBM929 on Twitter.
And I'm ex-Hoops PR guy.
You can follow the show at the B-Ball Show 929.
From way downtown, bang!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.